Listen closely, this is God's word. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is close at hand. A day of darkness, a day of gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them, fire devours. Behind them, a flame blazes. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. With a noise like that of chariots, they leap over the mountaintops like a crackling fire, consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The sky trembles. The sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us from this your word, and may the words ring in our hearts for application in this our generation and in a day to come. We pray, O Lord, that you would renew your people. And we pray, O Lord, that you would do so even now by sounding an alarm within our own lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And let us say, amen. Major Ian Thomas once said these words: "Whatever you do, don't blow your own horn. Make sure it is God's trumpet you are blowing. If it is only yours, it won't wake the dead. It will simply disturb the neighbors." So, dear church, let's blow God's horn. For in today's Bible passage, the ram's horn was blowing in Zion. The shofar was sounding on the holy mountains. It might have been a single long blast that the Hebrews called the tekiah, or maybe three medium bursts they called the shevarim. Perhaps it was the nine short notes of the teruah. But whatever it was happening. And it was something like today when in major cities around the world, church bells might ring. And in this instance, like church bells, it was ringing. But it was sounding an alarm. It was like an air raid siren or a tornado warning that we hear here in Georgetown every Friday at noon. And in this instance, it was sounding the alarm for danger, because danger was coming. Disaster was imminent. And what's the moral thing to do when you find yourself living on the eve of calamity? The moral thing to do is to sound a warning, to blow God's trumpet, to blow it loud and to blow it long, no matter how much it might inconvenience your neighbors. Warn them. Like if you smell a gas leak in your home, you go get everybody out of that house and you make them stand outside until the fire department shows up, even if you're standing in your pajamas. If you hear thunder, then you get those kids off the athletic field, no matter how much they complain about it. And if you see signs of God's displeasure in your family, in your church, in your nation, then warn people. Get them off the field. Tell them how they can be right with God. Well, here in Joel chapter 2, Joel saw signs of God's displeasure everywhere in his society. And he saw God's displeasure expressed through the calamity of a locust plague. It had been going on for 4 to 5 months. And for those many months, he watched his homeland systematically dismantled by these invaders. He watched his homeland stripped of everything verdant and green. He saw the cutting locusts and the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts and the destroying locusts. And they did nothing but strip and devour, ruin and destroy, and wither and shrivel the vines, the fig trees, and the grain. And Joel knew he had to do something, because Joel was God's man. Joel was God's prophet. Now, in a time of calamity, one might expect God's man to at least have a few encouraging words to say. To say things like, hang in there. Or to say, hey, things are bad, but they'll get better. Or to say, have hope, look up, every cloud is a silver lining. But God's man Joel did exactly the opposite. In chapter 2, he doesn't suggest that things will get better. He tells the people, you think it's bad, you've not seen anything yet. It seems so callous. It seems so heartless. It seems so cruel to share that bad news. How could he say such things when the people were in the midst of their sorrows? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because Joel was scared. I remember when I was a teenager and I had a friend that I really wanted to come to church. I really wanted him to know God. But I was just too scared to tell him. And I wondered, well, what would he think of me? Could we still be friends? Would he think I'm preachy or pushy? I just couldn't work up my nerve to talk to him, but I wanted to. But then one day it happened. We were out hiking one evening, and we stopped to watch the sunset, which that night had a strange, eerie, blood-red appearance. And it scared me. So I turned to my friend, and I blurted out, are you a Christian? He looked at me strange. It wasn't the most polished comment. It was not textbook perfect, but I was scared. I was reminded of a future day that would look like that sunset, and it loosened my tongue to warn him about it. Well, here in chapter 2, Joel is scared too. He's scared to death. He had been for months now watching the sky turn black with clouds of locusts. And it made him think, my Lord, one day this is going to happen again more profoundly than now. He saw the speed at which those locusts would advance, and he remembered how sudden the future day of the Lord would be. And he saw those locusts, they were everywhere. They were filling every crack and cranny, just like the ubiquitous day of the Lord would affect everybody. Every crack and cranny of human civilization everywhere. No one would get away from it. Joel shivered at the discomfort looking at all of those crawling, creeping, cursed creatures. And he thought, you know, this is going to happen again in the future. So I'd better warn people now. While they're thinking about it, while they're willing to talk about it, while I'm willing to talk about it, and they're willing to listen. And so in the midst of that locust plague, he sounded his trumpet about a future day. He said in verse 1, Look, let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, and it will be a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and a day of blackness. Joel blew his trumpet that day. He sounded the alarm. He warned the people about the coming day. And the first reason he did it, the first point of our sermon, is he was scared of the dark. He was scared at the dark. And when you are in the dark, you will do some pretty crazy things. I don't know about you, but I'm scared of the dark. I can talk myself into a real tizzy in the dark. If you ride with me, if you go down to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, and you want to go on the Magnum roller coaster with me, our family has a rich history with the Magnum roller coaster. Stories have been told. But I'll tell you, if we get in it, watch out, because halfway through the ride, you go through a tunnel and it's dark. But then you get through it and it's okay afterwards. If you go hiking up at Half Dome at Yosemite National Park in California, I will tell you, if you go up to Half Dome, you make sure you take a flashlight. It's a long hike. Chances are you're going to get stuck in the dark. Because I remember hiking off Half Dome with nothing but a 2002-style cell phone glowing on the path. I was scared. You see, just the thought of darkness makes me want to warn you. Just the thought of hiking with me in the UP, make sure you bring your flashlight. It's pretty dark up there at night. Makes me want to warn you, to protect you, to make your journey through any dark experience bearable. And so it was with Joel. See, here in verse 1, Joel tells us that there is going to be a future day in human history where darkness will cover the earth. It's always that way in God's redemptive calendar. Darkness plays a role. Do you remember when God gave Israel the Ten Commandments? Darkness covered that mountain. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus hung on the cross? It went dark from noon to 3. And Joel tells us it will grow dark again one day when Jesus comes a second time. Because on the day of the Lord, that darkness symbolizes that it is a day that God quits befriending sinners and it's too late. Think about it. Whenever you invite visitors over, what do? If your house is dark, what do? If you know they're coming in about 10 minutes, what do you tell the family to do? Turn on some lights around here. Brighten the house up so that you can see one another when you speak. Because darkness inhibits friendship and light fosters friendship. It might be nice to sleep in the darkness. I like sleeping in a nice, dark room. But when friends come by, I'm turning on the lights everywhere. Well, on the day of the Lord, God turns off the lights. He turns them off in a supernatural way because he's done. It's a day of reckoning. It's a day of review. It's a day of judgment. He's done befriending sinners. He's done being called the friend of sinners. He is done assisting rebels. He will no longer be social with stubborn creatures who will not do life God's way. He's done. He's not on speaking terms anymore. All gestures of friendship are over. And so the lights go out, and it scares Joel. When lights go out, life as we know it is over. Without light, you cannot see. You are not safe. I love the light. When I go on hikes, I love to get on top of mountains and see the sun rise or set in unique ways, casting its unique colors upon the mountains, fields, and even through the rain clouds. One reason I enjoy the light is because it reminds me of life. Even after we rebelled against God in the early days of creation, God never withheld light from us. As Jesus, God said, let there be light. After we rebelled against God, there still was light. Jesus tells us that God causes the sun to shine on the wicked and the good. But a day is coming, a day of the Lord, when God will strip away the chief gift of light for all who oppose him. And he will cast rebels into outer darkness. And that scared Joel. He wanted to warn his loved ones. He wanted to warn the people he knew as he saw the locust creating that shadow over the land, how to escape the dark. And we know how you can escape the dark. Jesus endured darkness on a cross. Jesus became a curse for us so that if we turn to him and turn away from the darkness to the Lord, while there is time, you can escape the very thing that terrified Joel. The question is, will you? Will this scare you enough to warn others? I bet it does work us all up to have nerve to warn the ones we love when you get really scared of the dark. Now, there's a second reason Joel sounded the alarm. The first alarm reason is he was scared of the dark. The second reason he sounds the alarm is because he finds himself afraid of sudden movements. You know, my kids have tried to scare me, and my wife as well, for many years. You know, I walk in, and suddenly they'll go, boo! And for many years, the kids and wife have hidden the corners and waited for me. They say, boo, it doesn't get me, but you probably know, you can imagine who was the first to really get me. It was Jonathan. He really got me one day. And I remember I saw this sudden movement out of the corner of my eye, but before it was too late, boo, he scared me to death. That sudden movement got me. Well, Joel chapter 2 is filled with all of these sudden movements. Verse 2, it says, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes. Verse 3 says, before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Verse 4, it says, they have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry. Verse 5, it says, they leap over the mountaintops like a crackling fire consuming stubble. Verse 7 says, they charge like warriors. Verse 8, they plunge through defenses. Verse 9, they rush upon the city. You see, what terrifies Joel as he surveys this locust army is how their sudden movements remind him that the day of the Lord will be sudden. Sudden, that's what the Gospels tell us again and again. It will be a sudden day. Have you ever tried to race a cloud, even in your car, on a cloudy day down the highway? You can't do it. Have you ever tried to run away from a sunrise and win? Have you ever tried to foot race a horse? Ever tried to run from a tank? You can't do it. They appear suddenly and then they're gone. Joel says that is how it will be with the day of the Lord. Jesus puts it this way in Mark 13:37. He says, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Now, if Joel knew the exact day of the Lord, I mean the very day when all of this would happen, when it would come, where it would come, well, the chances are he might not be as scared. For example, what happens, kids, when a teacher tells you that he or she will test you next Thursday? You la-di-da, live a wonderful life until late Wednesday night, get out your notes, and study real hard. So what does a wise teacher do? Wise teacher tells the students that they could have a pop quiz at any moment suddenly so that they keep up with their homework every night. And that's what Joel is doing with the day of the Lord. He says it will come suddenly. He doesn't say when, but it will be sudden. And this motivates the man of God to keep telling people, God is coming, we don't know when, you need to be ready. And it motivates you and I to be ready every day, to speak to others every day. If Joel said in chapter 2, you know, this prophecy refers to the Assyrian invasion in 701 BC, then nobody in his audience would worry. That seems far away. If Joel said, you know, this actually refers to the sacking of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, by all means, nobody in his generation would care and would feel just fine. And so what Joel tells us is that when God's day comes, whatever the unique calamity may be, it will be sudden, so get ready. God keeps an element of surprise in the day of the Lord so that people will be ready. It motivates us to walk with God. It motivates us to blow the trumpet. So the first reason that Joel sounds the trumpet is because he's scared of the dark. The second reason he blows that trumpet is because he's afraid of sudden movement. The third and final reason tonight Joel sounds the alarm is that he is scared by the large numbers that are affected. Verse 2, he says, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come. Verse 9, he says, they rush upon the city, they run along the wall, they climb into the houses like thieves, they enter through the windows. And in verse 11, he writes, the Lord thunders at the head of his army, his forces are beyond number, and mighty are those who obey his command. Who can endure it? See, as the day of the Lord approaches, many will be pulled into this cosmic battle of good and evil. No one is exempt from it. The Bible says you can call out for the stones and rocks to cover you and hide you, but you can't escape it. Jesus says these words. He says, nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains. Mark 13. So God's people will be everywhere, and God's enemies will be everywhere. And it won't be just the occasional crank here and crab there. Many will come to deceive many, says Jesus. You will feel like a minority in this battle because you are a minority in this battle, and it scared Joel, so he sounded the alarm. So my closing thought to you this evening, dear church, as we finish from the book of Joel, is do you take this day seriously? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? It will be a dark day when friendship with God is over for those against him. It will be a sudden day. It will come when you're least expecting it, and it will affect many everywhere in all places. Are you ready? Are you ready to tell others about that day? Because if you really think about it and really let it sink in, you'll know that you've got to say something. It's too dangerous to stay quiet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness to warn us. We know, O Lord, that at times we craft a life of our own thinking, and we insulate it from all world events and from all calamities and seek to live in our own perfect personal peace. But Lord, O Lord, a day is coming. And you scared Joel to blow a trumpet and to warn the people of his generation and warn the people of our generation. We pray, O Lord, that we would hear his words, that we would tremble. We would see that darkness, see the movements of large numbers affected, and that we would humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that he would be lifted up. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant us fervency to speak up for God, to insist upon God's sovereign rule, and to warn all we love and all we know to get right with God. It's a difficult thing to do, Lord. Times we value the opinions of others in our lives more than your opinion. At times it takes a real good scare to get us to hop, jump, and speak. So we pray that we would do so, that you would grant us the courage to speak in a day and age when false prophets everywhere say, peace, peace, these are days of peace when there are not. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen.